Christian. We have all the accessories, all the attachments and everything like that. When people see you walking down the street or walking in the church, you have a Bible and you know the songs to sing and you appear to be so Christian-like, amen? You have all the paraphernalia, you have all the trimmings. Everything on the outside seems to be okay, but how important is that word obedience in your life? Amen? When I looked up obedience, I saw words like compliance, submission, respect, conformity. And James, in his writing, described the relationship between God's word and freedom. So when you look at James 1, 22 to 25, it says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not just a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." So what the scripture says to me, it's not enough to hear God's word. It's hearing but not obeying. It's always important to be able to hear God's word. But God expects us to take the next step and obey his word. In fact, James say the person who hears God's word but doesn't put it into practice, amen, deceives himself. The person who knows that it's wrong to get drunk but goes and do it anyway is in the process of self-deception. Amen? The person who knows that adultery is wrong, but you go and you do it anyway, you're deceiving yourself. You're in the process of self-deception. Amen? The person who knows that God is what God is telling them and they choose to do elsewise is deceiving themselves. Amen? I'm going to give you an illustration of deception. Back in the 1930s, there was a bank robber named John Dillinger. What a waste of a life. He was a very, very smart and intelligent man. Amen? So he decided him and his gang were going to rob a bank. So what they did is they went into the bank and acted like they were a film crew making a picture of how to rob a bank. And all the people stood back and watched and smiled while they were doing this as they robbed the bank. He successfully robbed the bank. And he and his boys, they sat back and they looked and they said to themselves, wasn't that easy? It took a long time before those people realized that they were deceived into believing something that was different. Amen? This is the same thing the devil does to us. He uses things, he smoke screens things in front of us. It looks like one thing, but behind the scenes, it's actually something else. So while being deceived, sometimes you are proactive in your own self-deception. Sometimes as you are deceived, the devil and his cronies are sitting back watching you, laughing at you. Make a fool out of yourself. Amen? It has been said, if you deceive someone else, you're wicked, but you're smart. But if you deceive yourself, you're wicked, but stupid. The person who deceives himself, the person who hears God's word but doesn't do it is a person who could be wicked and not that smart. Amen? But rightly dividing the word of God is our ticket to freedom. You see, God's word is the perfect law that gives us freedom. Sometimes we're in too much bondage to be obedient to the word. Now, when I say being too much in bondage, when you do things that you say that you don't want to do and you can't stop yourself from doing it, you're in too much bondage to be obedient to the word. Amen? Now, I'm going to give you an example. You take a person who's an alcoholic, and they say, I can't stop drinking. So what do? They go to a 12-step program, and they take everything one day at a time. I don't know how that one day is a time and is any different than God telling us and Jesus telling us to take things one day at a time. They go and they tell them to submit to a power that's higher than you, a higher power. I don't know a power higher than our God. But see, the self-deception comes in is that they'll tell you that they don't believe in God. They say God or any other thing. What is any other thing? What is any other thing? You don't tell your children, listen to your mother or your dad or anybody else. You say, listen to your mother and listen to your father. But the deception in these programs tell you, believe in anything that you want to, that's bigger than you, and you're going to be all right. And people that have come from churches that have fallen into these traps could go into these programs and get their lives together and not even realize that it's really the word of God, that it's really God being in control, that the power that is greater than all other powers is God and nobody else. Amen? When I talk about being obedient, it's pretty quiet in here, and that's okay. Because we don't like to be obedient. We like to do our own thing. We like to do what we want to do. We like to do what we feel is right. We feel that nobody can judge us, so we might as well do what we want to do, and we don't care what anybody says. But I venture to tell you that one day, you're going to care what one somebody says to you. Amen? We want God to say, everything is good and everything is over. We want him to wave some kind of magic wand around us and everything is good and everything is gone. All our hang-ups, all our depressions and everything. God doesn't wave no magic wand. You see, when God does something in your life, he needs your involvement. Because if he just does like that and all your cares and everything is taken care of, you're going to find something else to do. He waves his wand and all of a sudden you stop drinking. Now you're going to find another vice because you really haven't put in the work and you really haven't been obedient to the word of God. Amen? God desires us to change from the inside out. As I was praying over my sister this morning, I told you that you can see a smile on her face. But on the inside, there's turmoil going on. I look at some of you this morning, and I know that you're dressed. But on the inside, some things are pretty ugly. Amen? God wants us to change from the inside out. You see, because the deception is not to God. The deception is to you. Amen? God wants us to start renewing our mind. Amen? Because by renewing our mind, those self-destructing tendencies, those old habits can be changed. If you don't change the inside, the outside is still going to still do the same things. You could start looking better, but your attitude is all messed up, so you're still going to be doing the same things. Amen? And later on, I'm going to get to a point that talks about not changing the inside, but changing the outside. Amen? You see, James says that hearing the word is like looking in a mirror. This Bible here tells you to self-examine yourself. And one reason why people don't want to read the Bible, one reason why people don't want to hear the true word of God, is because you don't want to examine yourself. Because one of the most ugliest things that you could ever see is when you look in the mirror and you see that you don't look like yourself. That you think that you're something else, and you refuse to look in the mirror. Oh, I can go back to those days that I had the hangovers. I can go those days, remember those days when I didn't really feel like getting up. And I go to the mirror and I turn around and I walk away. Because I didn't really think that I looked that bad. I didn't want to see my bloodshot eyes. I didn't want to see myself limping to the bathroom. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I didn't want to see myself. But you know, sometimes when we look in the mirror, it gives us a true glimpse of who we really are. We all remember Michael Jackson singing, "Oh, I'm starting with the man in the mirror." Well, that's a true statement. The Bible says we got to start with ourselves. One of the things that we like to do is we like to see other people and not ourselves. Amen. We're so willing to give somebody else advice about what they should be doing, but we're not looking at ourselves. Amen. And I don't need you to say, "Well, Pastor, I need." No, look at the book. What your answers are right here in the book. Because whatever advice I give you or whatever I can say to you, you best be sure that I need to be taking it out of here. James says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and forgets immediately what type of man he is." Amen? When you go to the mirror and you take a good look at yourself, I ask you this morning, what do you see? You see, because anybody around you, they really can't see what you see. Mothers and fathers, you can look in your children's eyes and you can see some things that other people can't see. Amen? You can look in your children's eyes and see that they're depressed. You can look in their eyes and you can see that they're upset. You can look in their eyes and see that there's something going on that needs addressing and needs to be attended to. Amen? That is a gift that God has given us as parents. You can look into your spouse's eyes and you can see that there's something going on. Amen? But when that person gets in the mirror, they lie to themselves and they don't see anything going on. You say, "Well, what's wrong?" Nothing. How you doing? Everything is okay. But everything is not out okay. James says, when we look in the mirror, we see what we need to do. Amen? We see what we need to do, but then we don't do anything about it. Amen? It's like listening to a sermon. So many times we hear God's words and we are touched. We're convicted by the things that are being said to us, by the things that are being taught to us, by the exposures of ourselves, of our hearts and our minds. And we say, "Well, we'll do something about that later." And we're being hearers, but not doers of the word. I'm going to go to an incident that happened yesterday, and I'm not too happy about it, but my wife is upset, my daughter's upset, and I'm upset, but I'm not that upset. And you can say, "Well, Pastor, why are you talking about this?" I'm going to talk about a cat. I'm going to talk about a cat. We have this cat in New York. Every time you open the door, the cat will run out. We try to stop the cat from running out. But every time you open the door, sometimes your hands are full of bags, the cat runs out. And I said to myself, "You know, one day something's going to happen to this cat. Because when you run out that door, things are liable to happen." So I have been periodically waiting When I would go home, I say, anybody see Dora? We called her Dora the Explorer because she's always going out looking at things. I said, do you see Dora? And Dora, when we come, Dora would run up to the door. She'd run in. And I'm going to tell you, Dora was mean. You pet her, and she'd let you pet her a while, and then she'd bite you. It's like she couldn't take but so much love. It's like some of us, we can't take but so much love. Somebody be in love and doing some things to you, and all of a sudden you turn around and bite them. You do something, and you make them wonder why they even petting you, why they even in love with you. But anyway, getting back to the cat. So 10:30, 11 o'clock last night, my wife and my daughter on the phone, and I hear that something happened to Dora. And I'm upset, they're upset, and they're talking. I had to get up and go to another room. The reason why I had to go to another room is because my philosophy is this. You can teach this cat. We wanted her to be obedient. We kept trying to prevent her from going outside, but she was not obedient. She did what she wanted to do. Amen? She paid the consequences. We're the same as that cat. We know what God wants us to do, but we keep running out that door and taking chances with God, what God is telling us to do. Sooner or later, we're going to pay the consequences. This is life. This is what we do. So I use the illustration as a cat to show you what we do in life. Because somebody this morning is going to feel convicted by the word of God. And you're going to be called to obedience, but you're going to run out that door. But I tell you, every time you run out that door and you're not being obedient to the word of God, you're opening yourself up to whatever it is that the enemy, whatever his tricks are, you're opening yourself up to be vulnerable to whatever's going to happen. Amen? James says the law of liberty is perfect. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, everybody in here today, we all want to be blessed. But sometimes James is kind of indicating to us that if we hear the word but we don't do what the word specifies to us, that we don't get into the word, that we ignore the word, that we will not be blessed. Now, what God has called me to do and what he has called you to do is totally different. Amen? But what God tells you to do, if you do it, he will surely bless you. He's not calling you to do what everybody else has to do, but he's calling you to do what you've got to do. So James is specifying it right here. If you're a hearer and a doer and you continually stay in the word, you are going to be blessed. James is saying that God's word is perfect. But why does he call God's word the law of liberty? In John 8 and 31 to 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Freedom does not mean that you don't have issues and things don't happen. You see, we a lot of times we associate freedom with freedom from pain and freedom from issues and freedom from confrontations. No, that's not that kind of free he's talking about. He means that you're free to do what God has called you to do. You're free to make decisions, right decisions, and you don't have these hang-ups like, did I make the right decisions? Did I do this or did I do that? Because God freed you of those burdens and those guilts and those pains. One of the most important things that we always feel guilty about is a decision that we make. But when you read the word and you're into what God is telling you to do, those guilts and those pains, those yokes that the enemy put upon you, Because when there is doubt, it gives the enemy a room, a window to put a yoke on your mind. But when you're in Christ, he frees those things from you. Amen? Christ says, take his burden and replace it. Take our heavy burden and replace it with his yoke. But he says, my yoke is easy and my burden light. My yoke that he has put upon me is a little different than the yoke he has put upon you. Amen? Because every one of us is different. And the Bible teaches me he doesn't give us more than we can bear. So what you bear is different than what I bear. So when somebody is going through them, we might feel empathy towards them, but God knows what he's doing. Amen? God knows what he's doing. Don't start questioning God like, I don't know why God allowed that to happen. God allowed it to happen because he knows what you can bear. Amen? James talks about the person who looks into the law of liberty. When he says look into, he means he stoops down. That means that he gets a closer look at the word. That means he goes down and he examines to take a closer look. Every time if the children came home and they're bleeding, you grab their arm and you start looking to see what it is. You don't just stand back and say, oh, you're bleeding. You come and take a closer look to see what's going on. God wants us to take a closer look at his word to see what he is really telling us. Because when you take a closer look at what God is telling you through the word, you'll be surprised what he's telling you. What you thought that he meant, he truly meant something different. When you look at the word, God doesn't want you to take a casual look. Some people say, well, I read the Bible. You do read the Bible. But do you understand what you're reading? You can't understand what you're reading until you take a closer look. Believe you me, when I read the Bible and I get into the text and try to understand what he's saying, there's so many different things that are going on. It's so many different things that every time I read it, I get a different interpretation and understanding of what it is that I'm reading. You can read a novel, and every time you read that book, you're going to come up with a different something that you didn't see the last time. If you look at a movie, you're going to come up with something that you didn't see the last time. You're going to hear something that you didn't hear before. That might give a little more meaning to what it is that you're seeing. And none of us like to look at movies when somebody's talking to us, right? So sometimes we need to look at that movie again and again and again to get the true text of exactly what is going on. James talked about continuing in the word. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. That means that it's not something that you just do and it's done with. You do it continuously, being in the word. It's something over and over and over again. We do things superficially. God is telling us that we need to dig deeper into the word. But let me just go here and say, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with him, with God. Do you know who the word is? The word is Jesus Christ. So when he says get into God's word, get into Jesus Christ. Get into understanding the man who was perfect, the only one that was perfect that came down. Get into understanding what he has been teaching us in the 3 years of his ministry. Amen? God doesn't want us to dabble in it. He wants it to be a lifestyle. You see, there's a bunch of Sunday morning Christians. There's a bunch of Sunday morning Christians. They come in here on Sunday and they, like I said, they have all the accessories. They have all the utensils. They have all everything that makes them look like, you know, they're a Christian and everything is going on and it's good to go. And it's really not. But we have to be into the word and be into it continuously. It has to be a lifestyle. Amen? And we do change our lifestyle when something's important to us. Don't we? Come on, church. Do we change our lifestyle when something's important to us? Come on, do we change our lifestyle when something's important to you? Do we change our lifestyle when something's important to us? I'm going to keep asking that question because I want you to self-examine yourself. Do you change your lifestyle when something's important to you? Okay, your children are important to you. Amen? When they get of age and you put them on one of these little teams, football, baseball, basketball, your lifestyle changes. I know what I'm talking about. When you put them into these activities, your lifestyle changes. Your life is not your own any longer because on Tuesday night there's practice at 7:30. And you don't get out of there till 8:30 or 9 o'clock. On Thursday night, there's practice again. On Friday or maybe Saturday or maybe even Sunday, there might possibly be a game. And your lifestyle has changed. You call somebody on the phone or they call you up. You say, well, you know what? I got to go because I have to take so-and-so James to practice today. It's no more you can be on the phone for 2 and 3 hours because this lifestyle requires your attention. But when I say the word of God and being a disciple of the Lord, being a Christian causes us to change our lifestyle, you look at me like I lost my mind. But I say to you, how important is it to be a disciple? You have to change your lifestyle. There's too many people who walk around and say, well, you know, I tried that and it didn't work. People say that about Jesus. I tried Jesus and it didn't work. I want you to know this morning that Jesus is not a recipe. He's not a recipe. You don't try it and then don't like it and all of a sudden you say, well, that just wasn't for me. He's not a recipe. He's not chicken marsala. He's not fried chicken. He's not barbecued shrimp. He's not a recipe. He is the Almighty Son of God, God Almighty incarnate that came down here in the form of Jesus Christ. And we overlook the power of what he did. We overlook how he came, how he loves us so much. God is looking for commitment. And when God gets that commitment from you, he perceives that there's something special about that kind of person. Amen? Because James said that though this one will be blessed in what he does. Have you ever seen somebody that they say, oh, everything this person touches, gold? When you are in Christ, everything that you touch, you will be blessed. I'm not going to tell you that it turns to gold, but I'm going to tell you that you're going to be blessed. And if not you, your children are going to be blessed. If not your children, your children's children are going to be blessed. If not your children's children, your children's children's children are going to be blessed. We grew up, we didn't think that we were blessed, but our children are blessed. And then we realize later on in life that we're blessed. Amen? Because my parents were not only hearers, but they were doers of the word. And if you're a hearer and a doer of the word, your offspring will be blessed. And pastor's not sitting up here saying it. It is a promise that he made in the book. And God is not a man to lie. He don't have to lie. He's God Almighty. James said, we will be blessed through our obedience. But does it come by grace? But listen to what Ephesians said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That means that the blessing is already ours through grace, but we need to do something to understand it. The Bible says that there's a wide road and there's a narrow road. Amen? And if we want to be blessed, we got to go through that narrow road. We can't go through the wide one because the wide one is easy to travel down. You don't have to worry about hitting the side of the road. You don't have to hit bunkers and stuff on the side because it's wide. But that narrow one, you got to squeeze yourself through it. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. It takes patience. But the scripture says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because the narrow gate is difficult as the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Amen. One road leads to destruction, the other one leads to life. You can't earn God's grace, but you can make sure that you're on the right road. You can earn his, you can't earn it because he's already given it to us. Amen. We got the wrong perception of what we think God should be doing for us and through us. I want you to know that liberty and authority go hand in hand. Amen? When we look up the book of Isaiah, the prophet offers up several crucial motivations towards obedience. And listen to what the people say, because the people don't want obedience. Listen to what they say. Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. They're telling us we don't want to know what's right. Stop confronting us. When we go out into the street, and we confront our family and our friends, they don't want to hear what we have to say. Amen? Don't tell us what is right. Tell us only the good things. Well, God don't want you to only hear the good things. He wants you to hear the real things. Because when you hear the real things, everything is not good. Amen? God wants us to confront the enemy. We're so busy that we don't want to confront the enemy that we bow down and cower to him. But this is a life of confrontation. If you're living this life and you think that you can go by without confrontation, you're living a wrong life. Matter of fact, you're not even living. Because you know what? Your children will confront you. Your spouse will confront you. Your job will confront you. Your neighbors will confront you. The people in the church, they will confront you. So you're not going to go by without being confronted. Amen? Isaiah is saying this, and he's not saying this because these people actually spoke these words. They didn't actually say these. It was their actions. So you say things with your actions and not necessarily your words. Some of you right now are saying things with your actions and not your words. But your actions sometimes do speak louder than words. Amen? So Isaiah used this, and this is the problem with us today. It says, you turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? This world today is turning to Jesus Christ like he knows nothing. You're looking at you're the pot, and you're looking at the potter, and you're questioning your relationship with him. Amen. But God is saying to these people, you got things messed up. Let me get this straight. He's saying, me, God, you, human. Me, creator. You, creature. Me, potter. You, clay. You obey, not for my good, but for yours. You see, when God calls you to obedience, he's not doing it for him. He's calling you to obedience for your own good. You see, he calls us children. That's why I love using the reference of children, because that's what we are to him. Amen? You tell your children to obey you and to do certain things for their own good, and they don't understand it. Sometimes it takes years for them to understand why you say things that you say, do things that you do, what your reasoning is. Same thing happens with God and your relationship with him. You've got to be obedient. You understand by and by what he's talking about, the reasons why he said do this, don't do that. Amen? But we like to say, I can do this, because we want to be the masters of our own destinies. You're never going to be the master of your own destiny. You're never going to be the master of your own destiny. You're never going to be there. But we like to think that we're in control. But you're never going to be the master of your own destiny. Amen? God, Isaiah gives three principles about God. He has the right to rule, and he sets a high price for rebellion. He pours out safety and blessings for obedience. So if you think that God doesn't have the right to tell you what to do, he has a right to rule you. When you rebel against God, he sets a high price for your rebellion. Amen? But he also pours out safety and blessing for your obedience. And you need God in your life in order to be obedient, because we are upside down. And the scripture says the sinful nature wants to do evil, because we have a sinful nature, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. If you get that, that means that the spirit and nature are always fighting against one another. We're always in conflict. Your good intentions are never going to work because of this conflict. I used to say a long time ago, even before I got saved, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You need God in control of your life. You need to be spirit-filled. You need to have him in control. You need to be obedient to his word. Amen? And all of this takes hard work. We don't like to work hard, but it takes hard work to be obedient. It looks so easy being sinful. It looks so good being sinful. It looks so nice, so beautiful, but it's hard to be obedient. When your parents disciplined you, you grit your teeth in obedience, because you just thought they didn't know what they were talking about. Sometimes when God tells you to do something, you grit your teeth in obedience. And it happens every time we turn around. And you have to know when you are being attacked, and it's a spirit thing or it's a physical thing. And I'll tell you that this happened to me yesterday. Well, it happened from Friday to yesterday. And I spoke to my wife about it. I went to the Salvation Army because I wanted this machine, this treadmill. No, elliptical machine. And on Friday, it was $150. And they said, if you come back tomorrow, it's half price. So why wouldn't I come back tomorrow? because I had something to do tomorrow. So I asked my wife, I said, I talked to the manager, I talked to her boss, and they said, nope, you snooze, you lose. Tomorrow, it's going to be half price. I got my wife up early in the morning. I sent her down to the Salvation Army. She was online an hour before it opened. That's how much I wanted this machine. She called me 10 minutes after it opened and said, it's sold already. I said, it can't possibly be sold. I said, no way. She said, the lady said it was sold yesterday. I said, that don't make sense. They did what they wanted to do. They did what they wanted to do. They wouldn't sell it to me, but they had to sell it to one of their friends. I'm upset. Can you get a refund? And on the wall, there's a sign that says, no refund, no returns, no nothing, no way, no how. So I decided that when I got back into Connecticut, I would stop by there and give them a piece of my mind because I know that they did me wrong. Have you ever felt like somebody did you wrong and you knew it and you just wanted to give them a piece of your mind? I wanted to give them a piece of my mind. And I had to remember that I had to be pastoral about it when I was going to do it too because I was really upset. Y'all been there? So I get there and I talk to the lady again and I say, you know, I wanted that elliptical machine. I said, I was here yesterday. And you're telling me that it was sold yesterday? And she's like this. Now I'm getting a little more upset because I can't believe that she's really maybe telling me a lie in my face. I'm like. I said, okay. I'm ready to take out my phone and record this conversation because I wanted everybody, I wanted to put it on the news that these people had did me wrong, that they told me that I couldn't buy something until the next day and they sold it to somebody else the day before. I was going to use technology to get this right. I was going to go Channel 8, 61, whatever the news is and tell them, look at this. You know, in New York, they got somebody called Help Me Howard. I was going to find a Help Me person here to get this thing straightened out. So I look at the truck. The guy has got all the stuff that I brought on that truck. And he says, I don't know how to tie, you know, things tight. Do you know how to do it? I says, yeah, I could do it. I was in the Navy 40 years ago. I can tie knots and this and that. So I'm out there tying it, and I'm tying it, and I look inside the front door, and there's the machine that I wanted. And now my mind is thinking. And the guy says to me, there's the woman right there who brought it. And she comes and she pulls right next to where I'm tying up the equipment. Now my mind, I'm tying, and it's only her, her daughter, and a little boy. And I'm tying this up. And I'm looking and I'm saying, I hope she don't ask me to help her to tie that up. Come on, I'm serious. I'm tying this thing, and I got knots galore in it, and I'm just tying it, and I'm watching them out the corner of my eye, knowing that they don't know, have an idea what they're doing. And I'm tying it, and the Spirit said to me, you need to go help that woman. But I kept tying knots. And when I had no more knots to tie, I walked over there to help the woman. And she's talking, and I said to her, I said, I really shouldn't be helping you because I wanted this. And they told me yesterday I couldn't have it, but I wanted this. This really is supposed to be mine. I said, but you know what? I'm going to help you out and tie this thing up. And she was telling me that she did buy it yesterday. She did buy it yesterday. You see, because the $150 versus the $75 didn't make a difference to her. So she did buy it the day before. But my mind was telling me something different. That spirit of indifference not just towards her, but to everybody in the place, was just out there. And I'm going to confess, it wasn't just me. It was my wife, too. Okay? Because when I got home, I started talking about it, and she was still upset. And I had to explain to her what happened to me, how the Spirit exposed me to what happened and what is right, to expose to me how the enemy had used my mind yesterday, because she called me 8-something in the morning. And I'm telling you, I was all messed up from that time until I got to that place. But all day, I lost the day being messed up because I thought somebody had done me wrong. And she was messed up till last night, till I told her, no, we was not done wrong. But I do that, and I'm telling you this because I want you to understand that it is a spiritual battle that we fight on a daily basis. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a little thing. It could be that I want to go to lunch at 12, and somebody goes to the boss. And know that you want to go at 12, but they go to the boss 15 minutes before you're supposed to go and tell the boss, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. And she tell you, you can't go to 12:30. And that can mess you up so much. But it's a spiritual battle that we fight. If I can get you to leave here today to understand that every time somebody gets in your face or they do something against you, it's not that person. It is a spirit. When somebody curses you out, it's not that person. It is that nasty cursing spirit. You say they cursed me out for nothing. No, the enemy cursed you out. It's not that person, because the enemy wants to confound you and trip you and have you all messed up so you can't keep your mind focused, so you cannot be obedient to the word of God. That's why we have to get into the word of God continuously. Always be in it, look through it, and read it and meditate on it day and night. That way it won't depart from your heart. Things leave from us easily when we're not concentrated in the word, when we're not concentrated in things, when those things are not a priority to us. It's easy to lose our purpose. It's easy to lose our priorities. Christ and the word of God should be our priorities. Amen? When the enemy attacks, he attacks hard and he attacks frequently. Amen? So every day when my wife and I pray, I start praying something, and when I finish, I say anything that I forget, I pray that my wife picks up on it. And you know what she say? Lord, today we pray that we put on the full armor of God. You know why? Because I pray just about for everything else, and she'll turn around and say, let's put on the full armor of God. And I say to you this morning, every day that you get up, put on the full armor of God. Amen? God bless you today. I know we got some things to do and I'm going to move on, but if there's anybody today that don't know the Lord and don't have a relationship with him, you can have a relationship with him today. Starting today. You don't have to wait. Amen? If you need prayer, you can just stand where you're at and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. There's something going on in your life. The enemy has got your mind under some kind of attack. Your spirit, your body. Just stand right where you're at, and we'll pray for you. Brother Mike, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning because I'm